Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 11th episode of the Feuerstein's Fire Soccer Podcast Show. I am your host, Daniel Ford, and I will be discussing the game from an American perspective with our clubs, leagues, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me, writers, at MajorLeagueSoccerTalk.com, a member of the EPL Talk family of websites. Don't forget the EPL Talk and MLS Talk podcasts hosted by Richard Farley. And also, during the World Cup, don't forget to go to World Cup Buzz, those podcasts also hosted by Richard Farley. As our national team had their training camp, it's time to look ahead for tonight's friendly against the Czech Republic in Hartford, Connecticut. And Saturday afternoon down in Philadelphia against Turkey at Lincoln Financial Field. I think Bob Bradley has called in a strong side to face their Group C opponents. Coop nicely, the only way this squad will against England in the first group match is not to show too much respect and overconfident. Now, if some of you read the story on Yahoo Sports that Jozy Altidore was supposed to meet Los Angeles Lakers superstar Kobe Bryant, but blew him off to have a bit of a smack talk with David Beckham, who will be an assistant coach on the sidelines for England due to injury. To my friend Jozy, if you're listening to this show, please let me give you a bit of advice. Are you out of your freaking mind? Why are you intentionally giving David Beckham bulletin board material so he can put it up in England's locker room? I don't mind a chat, man, but for Pete's sakes, don't go overboard. What you did to your former Villarreal teammate against Spain in the Confederations Cup was fine because A, Spain took us lightly, and B, your friend thought you were completely nuts. This is a different ball game, kid. You keep your ears and eyes open with your mouth shut. This is the World Cup. You keep those opinions to yourself and don't fly off the handle. I don't mind some bravado, but this is a different animal. And now, with some Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup news. The field for the first round is nearly set as clubs from the Premier Development League and U.S. Adult Soccer Association finish up their qualifying. From PDL East, Reading United AC just scored 3 more goals than Newark Ironbound Express to take a round one spot due to the goal differential, as both sides were tied with 12 points. And in the PDL West, congratulations to the Ventura County Fusion and Kitsap Pumas for reaching the first round. Also in Regions 1, 2, and 4 of the USASA, congrats to former U.S. Open Cup champions Brooklyn Italians and the New York Pan Cyprian Freedoms. The Italians are 2-time champions, as they were originally called the Brooklyn Dodgers Soccer Club, winning in 1979, and then as the Italians in 1991. While the New York Pan Cyprian Freedoms are the last club to win the U.S. Open Cup in consecutive seasons in 1982 and 1983, but winning their first title in 1980. In Region 2, the AAC Eagles that we are so used to seeing in the U.S. Open Cup has been pushed away by Detroit United and Kansas City Athletics. In Region 4, a familiar side in the Arizona Saharos, along with the Bay Area Ambassadors, takes their respective spots. There are still some tight races for certain sides in the PDL to take their top divisional spots to reach round one proper of the 2010 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And quickly talking about U.S. Open Cup history, we all know that the two sides who have won the Thomas R. Dewar Challenge Cup 5 times is Bethlehem Steel in 1915, 16, 18, 19, and 1926. But losing a final in 1917 against Fall River Rovers. And Los Angeles Maccabi in 1973, 75, 77, 78, and 1981. During the MLS era, only the Chicago Fire has won the U.S. 4 times, 1998, 2006. Round one proper will be on Tuesday, June 15th. No Beckham, no Buttle, no Donovan, no problems. As the Los Angeles Galaxy needed a Mike McGee goal in the 17th minute to take victory down in Frisco and remain undefeated. DC United keeps losing matches as the Dynamo put two past their keeper. After a late goal, victory by the Sounders at Red Bull Arena, they got on the losing end of a one-goal match by the Earthquakes. Toronto FC's only goal stood in their win against the Revolution, and a late goal by Fabian Espindola defeats Chivas USA for the win. If you are looking for the latest gear on this summer's World Cup in South Africa, then the Premier Soccer Shop is the place for you. They have tons of USA jerseys, training shirts, jackets, and of course, the top football club jerseys from Europe, South America, and other national teams. Not only do they have balls, but they will customize your USA jersey, your favorite players, with the official USA numbers and letters from US Soccer. If you're from the New York City area, Northern New Jersey area, head on down to Hoboken and get your gear at the Premier Soccer Shop, 157 First Street, 201-533-8900, or go online at www.premsoccershop.com. They're on Twitter and Facebook as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, time once again for the matches this upcoming weekend or this upcoming week in Major League Soccer. And, of course, the Thursday match of the week on ESPN2. Thursday evening, May 27th, FC Dallas will be at the Chicago Fire at Toyota Park, 8 p.m. Eastern. 29th, the Los Angeles Galaxy will be at the Columbus Crew, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Ohio News Network, and Fox Sports Net West. Chivas USA will be at DC United, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, on Fox Sports Net Prime Ticket and Comcast Sports Net Mid-Atlantic. Travel to the New England Revolution. It will be locally on MSG at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, everywhere else on Galavision. The Fox Soccer Channel match of the week, Philadelphia Union will be at the Houston Dynamo at Robertson Stadium, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. At 9 o'clock Eastern, Seattle Sounders will be traveling to the Colorado Rapids. Kong in Seattle, KWGN Channel 2 in Denver and the area. Kansas City Wizards will be at Real Salt Lake, 9 p.m. Eastern at Rio Tinto State. Locally in Utah, UKCE in Kansas City. And Toronto FC will be they'll be on the road at the San Jose Earthquakes at Buckshaw Stadium, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, and Rogers Sportsnet in all over Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a good show for you today as one of my fellow writers on MLS Talk will be joining me, Eric Alschul, who supports Los Angeles Galaxy at 2:30 Eastern. In the NFL segment, we will have a little discussion about the situation of AC St. Louis. We'll be recapping Red Bull New York's 3-1 loss to the Crew and their 3-1 victory against Juventus. And, of course, we're going to talk about that U.S. Open Cup play-in, the qualifier, to see who will go into third round proper as the Colorado Rapids are coming over to play Red Bull at Red Bull Arena this coming Wednesday or tomorrow night. But my first guest is a man I've been hunting down for quite a while. my friend Glenn Webb from Salt Lake City, who experienced, as well as the entire state of Utah, their first professional sports title in Real Salt Lake's first MLS Cup championship last year. And when we get to Mr. Webb, don't worry, everything will be just fine, everything will be okay. We'll quickly talk about the U.S. Open Cup. I have to say about the U.S. Open Cup, who doesn't love FA Cups? I know I do. And, you know, I guess there are times where there are times when, you know, you see it being treated like it's nothing, like it's like a little bastard child or, of some sort. And that's not what the U.S. Open Cup is really about. The U.S. Open Cup is about giving a team in the lower divisions of U.S. soccer a chance to win a title. And that little caveat of a CONCACAF Champions League spot going into the qualifying round, you know, I think it just adds more flavor to it and it adds more excitement to it. The U.S. Open Cup is a fabulous tournament, plenty of history. A shame that Major League Soccer teams, not Major League Soccer teams, excuse me, the original North American Soccer League teams are not involved. I mean, Pele never got involved with the U.S. Open Cup. No New York Cosmos, no original San Jose Earthquakes, no original anything, you know? Just, you know, the lower-level sides or all the lower-level sides just were participating in it. And it's a real shame because it would have been nice to see MLS sides actually doing – I mean, excuse me, NASL sides, the original NASL sides, you know, caring, being a part of it, being a part of – well, thank goodness MLS is involved. This new NASL league is involved. The USL sides are involved as well as the PDL sides are involved. The U.S. Open Cup is a fabulous tournament. And so long ago, the Dallas Roma in U.S. Adult Soccer Association Region 3 was able to go from round one all the way up to round four. Couldn't crack through into the quarters as they lost to the Los Angeles Galaxy in round four. And, of course, 2 years ago, Charleston Battery became the second lower-level side since the Rochester Rhinos defeated the Colorado Rapids in 1999. And that was in 2008. The Battery, they played a tough match against D.C. United, but D.C. edged them on the goals. Fred scored Lucio Emilio scored the first one, and then it was an equalizer in the first half, and then Fred came on as a substitute, and then he puts in the winner. So, you know, we'll see what happens in this upcoming U.S. Open Cup tournament. The field is about to be filled up soon. Like I said, we have two sides in PDL East filled, Reading United AC. And we still have some matches going on in the PDL Central. There's a tight race in the PDL South. Two PDL West sides in Kitsap and Ventura County have filled in those spots. Region 3 qualifying tournament, we don't know what it is yet. It's a to-be-determined thing. But from Region 1, like I said before, Brooklyn Italians, New York Pan Cyprian Freedoms. Region 2 is Detroit United, KC Athletics, and the Arizona Saharos, and, of course, Bay Area Ambassadors in Region 4. But now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to contact my friend Glenn Webb, who is waiting for this phone call to happen. And we're going to give it to him right now.
Hey, Danny.
Glenn, how are you? Welcome to the show. How are things, my friend?
Things are good. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. You know, you're a hard man to track down in these recent times. I don't know if you're hiding or you've found fame to be a little more challenging.
a little bit of both, you know.
Well, Glenn, obviously.
Glad to be on today.
Oh, thank you very much. Glenn, let's talk about last year. I think it was a magical year for the supporters of Real Salt Lake and the entire state of Utah. I think I can say that what the Red Bulls did in 2008, Salt Lake was able to get the title in 2009.
Yeah, kind of familiar path. And at one point last season, we were kind of making a short list of coaches that we'd like to come in to replace Christ. But he kind of righted the ship and figured things out and got hot and had a little help, actually quite a bit of help at the last couple of weeks of the season to ensure that we sneaked into the playoffs to the number 8 seed, and then, you know, we beat everybody they put in front of us.
Obviously, you had to go into the Eastern Conference to go into the playoffs there, and, I mean, you dispatched the Columbus Crew. You took out Chicago, and then you were forced into penalty kicks against Los Angeles Galaxy. I mean, you know, talk about that. I mean, that was really, really amazing. I mean, that's almost like a reversal. Not really a reversal, but more like, you know, Red Bull had to draw with Houston at Giant Stadium, and then they went into Houston with a 3-0 victory on a 4-1 aggregate, went to you guys to win 1-0, and then just couldn't do it against the Crew. And but you were able to do it and take the title all the way.
Yeah, the team got on a roll there in about halftime of that Columbus game when we were tied, I think, on the aggregate or maybe behind one. It just felt good that the team was playing together and they were going to do it. And then they came out and did it. Andy Williams, you know, I think he started his career with the Crew, and he put them out. His goal was a big one there to send them forward. And then you know, we just get on a roll, keep playing together, and Raimondo stands on his head to save plenty of PKs there in Chicago. Grabovoy makes the one to put us through there, and Raimondo stops some. And then just outstanding to outlast the Galaxy up there in Seattle for the Cup. That was you know, first time thing for any of us in Utah. We've been close a couple times with the Jazz and had the University of Utah come close on a couple of things, but this is the first championship to the state in forever.
Now, were the Jazz receptive to Real Salt Lake winning? Because, you know, I mean, I'm not familiar with the whole Salt Lake City area or the entire state of Utah. I mean, obviously the Jazz had their...
Yeah, there was kind of the obligatory good job press release. We kind of congratulate our sister, you know, here in the city. But there were a few things like the European players, Kirilenko and, I can't even remember, Memo Okor, they made a few things, and I think even attended a game or two at some point during the season to check things out. So most of the players could care less. Carlos Boozer's from Alaska. I don't know if he realizes you can kick a ball.
Well, he's going to leave anyway, so to heck with him.
yeah, sure. But maybe the Knicks want him.
Yeah, right. But, no, I'm glad to hear about Kirilenko because, you know, not to, like, derail from our conversation, I've always felt maybe Major League Soccer should ask the NBA and the NHL players to those that come from Europe to maybe help promote the game here in the country. Obviously, you got Kirilenko and, of course, Kufos, I believe his name is, from the Jazz as well. Is he from?
The Kufos. I can't remember. He's Serbian, I think. I don't remember. He doesn't playing time, so.
No, but I mean, like, you know, he is a part of the Jazz, and, you know, at least that's enough clout in my mind to, you know, to promote the game and promote the club over in the Salt Lake area. I mean, obviously, Kirilenko is number one because he's been there for so long, like John Stockton and Karl Malone was for the Jazz. But, you know,
right.
You'd like to think maybe, you know, Kirilenko is the latest person to have some clout outside of Deron Williams and Carlos Boozer.
I think the thing there is the the relationship between Dave Checketts, RSL's owner, and Larry Miller, the late Larry Miller, who died last year. Miller hired Checketts, and they kind of built up the Jazz to, you know, what it has become. And then Checketts left, not on really good terms, when he went to New York with the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. And there was a bit of a rivalry, and both of them, you know, just said enough in the papers to know that, you know, I'd like to say more, but I'm going to stand above the fray. And then the next guy would come in and say, yes, we have a great relationship. And then there'd be a couple of underlying comments there that you, if you read between the lines or knew any of the history, that the Jazz weren't really going to go out of their way to help out RSL because of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say this. You
know
you're not
that much.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this about Checketts. You're not alone, my friend, because he left the Garden and the Knicks and the Rangers high and dry too. So when his his rear end was on the line, yeah, he did a little more damage. I think he's done a lot of damage wherever he's left. So, I mean, you know, whatever he did to the Jazz original owner, he's done almost the same thing to the Knicks and the Rangers. And basically, he, you know, when his rear end was on the line, he left high and dry and passed the buck on to someone else before even he left, unfortunately.
Yep.
But let's get back to Salt Lake. Now, Salt Lake, the first sports side, pro sports side in the state of Utah to win a championship. Did you travel to Seattle to watch the final?
I didn't. I had work commitments. I was actually watching it in a hotel room in San Diego.
Ah.
So,
Were there more people than yourself in the hotel room in San Diego?
Nope. It was a Sunday night. Half the people were heading home. I didn't want to travel and miss it. And so just a party of one. I could scream and shout and sulk as much as I wanted it going through the emotions of the game.
There you go, Webby. I'm so happy to hear that this happened. Obviously, it must have been a fantastic party in Salt Lake City, also probably in Sandy where the stadium is.
Yep,
this season
did,
go ahead.
Well, they did a little bit of a parade down State Street, which is one of the main drags that runs the entire length of the valley there. So they started it at the Capitol, had some sort of resolution read, and then did the parade down State Street and then a big celebration at the stadium there.
That's fantastic. Very, very happy to hear that. Very happy that there was a celebration for the Real Salt Lake side. This season, obviously, do you like where the club had their start? Do you think there could be some improvements to the club currently, or do you think everything is just fine?
Well, everything's really good. We're at 16 points, 5-3-1. We've never started this well. And, you know, I think as far as improvement, we've, you know, there's been a handful of games that we've given own goals to Seattle and PKs to Houston and Columbus to lose points there. So a lot of it's self-inflicted.
Okay.
I think one of our big things too is fitness or avoiding injury. We've had several key players out with injury, and now Beckerman this week, he's going to be missing some time.
Right. Yes, Kyle Beckerman, I believe he's your captain.
Yep.
Yeah, he's been captain. Such an influential player to Salt Lake ever since he came over from Colorado Rapids. He has done. I've always felt he is the engine that makes that side go whenever you're on the offensive side of the field. So Kyle Beck, he's done a fantastic job.
Beckerman is the engine in a lot of regards. He's not the, you know, Javi Morales is the conductor, the engineer. He steers the offense, but Beckerman is back in the back, stoking the fire to make everything happen. And we saw when he left the game Saturday night against Chivas, things really went downhill. And so he does things that you don't see as much, but his percentage of passes completed, his replacement just couldn't match it, couldn't organize things. So he's the captain. He's kind of the heart and the soul. He's the reflection of Jason Christ, I think, from a defensive side as opposed to Christ's offensive prowess. So a big part of the team. I hope he doesn't miss too many games.
Same here. I agree, because not seeing him on the field, it's going to be a bit of a disappointing thing. So, but let's talk about, you have an upcoming match next. Whoa.
We have Kansas City this Saturday.
You have Kansas City this Saturday, but more importantly, next Wednesday, June 2nd, Salt Lake travels down to DC United for that automatic spot in round three proper of the U.S. Open Cup. Is there going to be any form of a live stream, do you know, that DC will provide, or will there be a television crew from Salt Lake making a trip down?
No, they'll have radio for it. They send the radio crew, the English radio crew. I don't think the Spanish crew goes on the roads there. I'm not sure. But the station, the check-in phones, actually, too, it's a great thing to be able to listen to all of the Open Cup games on the radio. And so they'll be there. Makes me a little bit nervous playing D.C. I just think they're going to put so much emphasis on this Open Cup. And they are the home team of the U.S. Open Cup, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Kevin Payne somewhere has got his hands inside the cookie jar.
Yep, that's right. So, you know, Lagerwey, our GM, says we want to compete in this. We give it importance, but I just don't think that we can give it the importance that D.C. is going to. We've got Saturday, Wednesday games coming up, four in the next 2 weeks. And so we're going to have to spread our roster out a little bit, and D.C. isn't going anywhere in league, so they may as well just put everything into the Open Cup and try and get some success in their season.
Definitely. Well, I will say this. If you have a solid bench, like what Red Bull and Hans Bakke has done, for the Red Bulls, you know, I think there's a possibility you guys can take it. I still feel you guys probably take it.
I feel good about the bench. We've had eight midfielders contribute, seven of them in a pretty positive way. You know, if we have Ned Grabovoy or Andy Williams coming in, I'm drawing a blank. Will Johnson.
Right.
You know, we have quite a bit of bodies that we can rotate around. The back line isn't as deep as the midfield and the forwards. We've had six guys contribute, but it's basically five guys rotating. Borchers and Olave are the rocks in the middle, and then the outside backs kind of rotate. Robbie Russell, Chris Winger, who got his first career goal, and Tony Beltran.
Right.
So midfield, I feel pretty good. Forwards are okay, and I kind of expect Finley to be back in Salt Lake on the squad as opposed to packing for South Africa.
Oh, you believe Finley's not going to be on that plane to South Africa?
I don't think that from everything that's out there to read, it looks like he and Eddie Johnson are out. So, which is all right. It would be great if he went. We had Eddie Pope go in the last cycle.
Yep.
I'd sure take Robbie Finley here for these home matches.
Definitely. Webby, thank you very much for coming on the show. I've been trying to get you on for so long because I wanted to help celebrate Salt Lake City's first professional championship, including the state of Utah. Thank you very much for coming on the show, and I hope you have a good day, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Danny. Talk to you later.
No problem. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. And that was Mr. Glenn Webb, supporter of Real Salt Lake, once again defending MLS Cup champions, and other fun things coming up this year. Now, we're going to get to Mr. Eric Alschul. He is one of our writers on Major League Soccer Talk, but at the same time, he is also a Los Angeles Galaxy supporter. We're going to give him a call, have him ready to come on the show.
Hello?
Eric, it's Daniel. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Eric, thank you very much for informing me that you would like to come on the show, and I'm very glad to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Alschul, one of our MLS Talk writers, as well as a Los Angeles Galaxy supporter. Eric, just really quick, please talk about how you fell in love with the game.
You know, it's a funny thing, and I have a little post up on WorldCupBuzz.com about it. I grew up hating soccer. I thought it was just a sport for other people that weren't real Americans. And I actually played a year of AYSO, thought the entire experience was wretched, had nothing to do with it, didn't care about it, didn't want to see it at all. And I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time of the 1994 World Cup, and somebody gave me a ticket to the game to go with them, and I saw Mexico play Italy, and I just thought it was the best experience I've ever had at a live sporting event outside of being there for Kirk Gibson's home run. I mean, it was fantastic. The fans were great. The atmosphere was great. The game was exciting, and I just, from that moment on, was just pretty much hooked.
Very, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a former hater converted into a lover. It's just fabulous to hear. What was I going to say? I just drew a blank. Okay, now I got it. So let's talk about the Los Angeles Galaxy. Did you expect this type of a start to this season?
Well, you know, I know that, no, I don't think anybody, including the Galaxy, expected a start to like they've had. But they have had all the pieces to be a really strong team from about the middle of last season on. Bruce Arena, who, by the way, just to backtrack for a sec, the way the Galaxy are playing now, I think Bruce Arena has really confirmed his place in American soccer history as just the go-to guy to put a great team together. He has contacts and tentacles all over this sport in the country, and he just finds players that other people have devalued, have lost hope in, puts them all together on a team, finds that right balance, and puts out a great, great squad that is a mixture of young and old, has depth, has experience, it's a terrific thing to see. And starting from about the middle of last season on, when you saw the Galaxy really start to come on, you saw something come together for the team. But did anyone expect them to start the way they have? I don't think so. And it really is, it's an astounding start that they've had. And apart from the fact that they've won eight and have drawn twice and haven't lost yet, the thing that's amazing about the Galaxy so far is in their 10 games, they've only given up 2 goals. They just have this tough, tough defense that I think is very, very hard to break down.
Definitely, and obviously you have a great international keeper in Donovan Ricketts from Trinidad and Tobago, I believe, or is he from Jamaica?
He's from Jamaica.
From Jamaica.
Actually, he's from Jamaica. We have Chris Burchill in the middle, who's from Trinidad and Tobago. He's, you know, sort of, anytime the U.S. has played Trinidad and Tobago, he's the white guy on the team. But he's been terrific. Donovan Ricketts has been terrific. The one who I think, you know, if you have a chance to watch a Galaxy game, if you have a chance to go out and see the Galaxy when they visit wherever you are, watch Omar Gonzalez play the game. He's last year's Rookie of the Year, and I can't say enough about the guy. He's still young. I think he's 23 years old. He's just, a year and a half ago he was at the University of Maryland, and now he is, I think, the best center back in the MLS. He's astounding. He's built like a brick house. He's 6'4", and he's got, you know, Gooch's body. He's got terrific recovery speed, running back, trying to do those game-saving tackles. And anything that comes in the air, he gets under, and it just goes out as far as it came in from. I am totally high on Omar Gonzalez. I think he probably only has another year or two left in the MLS before he heads somewhere in Europe, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him in the starting back four in Brazil 4 years from now.
And just let fantastic. Just to let everyone know real quick, Eric, I got your story up here. It's on World Cup Buzz. It's on the second page, and the title is How the World Cup Made Me an Obsessive. So, ladies and gentlemen, just go to worldcupbuzz.com. Click on for the previous entries, the second page, and it's titled How the World Cup Made Me an Obsessive.
And it's an obsessive in an unhealthy way. I mean, listen, if you're listening to this podcast, you can probably relate to it. But, yeah, I just spend entirely too much time reading about soccer and thinking about soccer and talking about soccer for a grown man. It's totally inappropriate.
No, definitely. And, I mean, you know, I got originally when I was growing up in the Bronx, my parents and my aunt and my uncle, they're from Romania. We went to see the Cosmos back in those days. And when the NASL left, you know, there was not that I cried about it, but I just didn't know why we weren't going anymore. My dad told me that they ended, they closed up shop. And then I got back into it when the 94 World Cup came, and then I went for television production. I was the Rampo College. I was play-by-play man for the college television channel. And from that there on, I just got back into it, and I got obsessed. I got hooked. So, you know,
I think, you know, as the U.S. bids to get the World Cup back here in either 2018 or 2022,
mm-hmm.
I think that is actually the key to making soccer, you know, to have the big three sports in the U.S. become the big four. I think the World Cup sort of took America by surprise in 94. When it comes back here, and I'm pretty confident it will, there's just too much money in America for FIFA not to send it back here. But when it does come back here, I think it's not going to take America by surprise, but it will take America by storm. I think the excitement of having it here will really create another generation of fans that will take this sport to heart. I think it's critical for the World Cup to come back.
Definitely. I feel that it should come back. I think we truly deserve it to come back. Obviously, we all know in Europe, you know, once, you know, it's already here, South Africa this summer. In 4 years, it's going to be in Brazil. And, of course, Europe will always be screaming, well, we should have the World Cup back regardless of whatever people think. So who knows if it'll be 2018 or 2022. But I agree, you know, the World Cup should come back here to the United States because, you know, I think we proved that, you know, we have more improved infrastructure in this country to handle a World Cup than anywhere else does.
Yeah, there's nothing even close. I mean, we can sell, given the stadia that we have right now and maybe a couple others that might come online between now and then, we can sell 4 million tickets to the World Cup. Just by comparison, the last World Cup in Germany, which was wildly successful, which everybody was pleased about, sold just a little over 2 million. There's just more opportunity for more people to see a World Cup game if it's held in the United States than anywhere else in the world by far. You know, just as a comparison, I mean, England will probably get the 2018. That's the best guess, and we'll probably get 2022. England only has one stadium that seats more than 75,000 people, and that's Wembley. America can have the World Cup in nothing but stadia that seat more than 75,000 people.
Yeah, exactly. Because if it's not going to be Wembley, then it's, you know, the obvious places will probably be the Emirates in London for Arsenal, Old Trafford for Manchester United, maybe the Reebok. I believe that's where Bolton plays, the Wanderers.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing. After the Emirates and after Old Trafford, it's a pretty big step down in size. You're talking, you know, 40, 50,000 seaters. And, you know, that's not, you know, listen, I think that's great. But, you know, the U.S. has every single stadia for a World Cup will hold 75,000 people plus. You'll have stadia with 90,000, 100,000 people that you know, are just par for the course here in America.
Exactly. Not to make you go back into a little ancient history, but obviously we already know David Beckham is done for the year. He's done for England for the World Cup with his Achilles tendon going kablooey in with Milan. But besides that, when David Beckham, if I'm rehashing this, I apologize, but I'd like to know what your opinion is about this whole thing. When David Beckham coming to stay with Milan and not return to Los Angeles just because apparently Capello has told him to stay with Italy or stay with Milan and, you know, to be ready for the World Cup. I mean, what was your feeling of that whole scenario?
Well, you know, as a Galaxy fan, it was a mess. But, you know, the whole David Beckham thing from the outset was sort of a mess not built for Galaxy fans. It was, you know, David Beckham was brought, you know, to enhance the image of MLS in general. Whatever he did or didn't do for the Galaxy was always sort of going to be a little bit of a side issue. In fairness to Beckham, and I do want to, you know, give a little bit of credit to this. The Galaxy under Rude Hewitt were just a mess. It was an embarrassment to watch. It was an embarrassment to be part of. And I think that year that Beckham did play the entire year for the Galaxy, he looked around and said, "What in the world have I gotten myself into?" It was a terrible team without any of the pieces needed to be successful, a manager who did not understand how American soccer worked and who really was aloof from the entire thing, and just a team that went out there and just performed horribly. And for Beckham, who, you know, for better or for worse, had always played for successful teams in his entire career, he was playing for what was almost an amateur-like outfit. So I can understand Beckham from a career standpoint saying, "I got to get out of this. This is a mess." That being said, he had a contract. He had a deal. The Galaxy fans have invested a lot of emotion in having him there, and seeing him just sort of ignore all that and decide to stay in Milan and talk about how he wouldn't mind being sold to Milan and how what a pleasure it was to play for Milan and what an honor and unique opportunity and all that blah, 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 was simply a slap in the face to those of us who had stuck with the Galaxy through thick and thin.
Exactly. And I mean, I felt bad for you. I felt bad for every single LA Galaxy supporter out there that wanted to see David Beckham play, that bought the shirts and customized it with Beckham number 23 on the back. Before I even joined MLS Talk, I was with Champion Soccer Radio Network and on my blog for them at the time, I just kept on saying, "This is a travesty. This is terrible. Why did you even bother coming here if you felt that?" Well, I didn't know about that was the real situation, but, you know, to feel that, you know, you made the league spend all this money to bring you over, and then all of a sudden, be there anymore.
Yeah, and the thing was, Beckham never really, and you know what it's like going to an MLS game. You know, the stadiums are small, especially now for you guys, which is great. It's intimate. The players build a relationship with the fans. There's always that one hardcore cheering section, and the Galaxy actually have a couple of them, where the players come in and pay their respects to that section and really try to build a connection. Beckham had never done any of that. Beckham really, while he was here with the Galaxy, he sort of felt like, you know, I don't know what you would call it, like the visiting soprano for an opera. He'd just, you know, come in, do his song, and leave. And and so, you know, there was always that sort of lack of intimacy that I think the Galaxy fans were really hoping for with Beckham. And so when he decided not to come back, it was a pretty quick turn for Galaxy fans to just, you know, let him have it that first day back that he had last summer when he was actually, you know, the first time he stepped on the field of Home Depot Center was against AC Milan, and the fans really let him have it. And I think he was shocked about that because I don't think he was expecting the fans to have that much passion about it, but they did.
Well, you know, it's different over here in America. You know, we all believe in, look, if you work hard for us, you know, we'll support you. But if you have a bit of a slip, you know, we're going to let you know that you're not doing your job. But if you betray us, you'll definitely hear about it as well. Eric, real quick before we go, with the way the Galaxy has been playing, the way – and we all – like I said, Bruce Arena is basically the best American coach, club or to basically lead – footballers on the field. While the resurgence of Edson Buttle has been absolutely fantastic, and he's being rewarded by being on this World Cup training camp, and we're all probably going to assume he's going to head on down to South Africa, as well as old reliable Landon Donovan, is there a worry that this ship could be sinking if something goes wrong?
Well, you know, listen, it's interesting because the Galaxy actually have a really tough stretch of games coming up, you know, that'll coincide with, you know, with having Donovan and Buttle away. We go to Columbus this weekend. We have Houston at home. Then we go to Salt Lake, and then we go to Toronto. So those are three tough away games and a tough home game all coming up between now and the end of June. It's a tough stretch. But that being said, the thing that has made the Galaxy click so far this year, Buttle has been great. Donovan has been great. There's no doubt about it, and there's no way they won't be missed. But the thing that has made the Galaxy click this year is the way they're defending as a team. Birchall and this guy Juninho, who we have on loan from Brazil, have just been awesome in the middle of the field. The defensive line has been awesome. Donovan Ricketts has been awesome. And, you know, I just, no matter who we're playing, I don't see us giving up a ton of goals. That doesn't mean that we're not going to drop points over the next month. I assume we will. But the reason why the team has been successful isn't because Buttle's scored every game. They've won when he hasn't scored. It's because we haven't given up much, and we've just controlled the ball tremendously well. And hopefully the Galaxy can continue that over the next month without Buttle and Donovan.
So basically it's not so much you're worried about the offense, it's more about the defensive end of the ball.
Yeah, we're just, you know, it's a tough team to break down right now, and it was a tough team to break down even with Donovan and Buttle pressing forward. So, look, you know, we're going to drop points. We're not going to go through the entire season undefeated. And we're not going to play as well without Donovan and Buttle as we did with Donovan and Buttle. But it's a very deep team. It's a team that mixes experience with youth. And I think by the time Donovan and Buttle come back, I would expect the Galaxy still to be on top of the West.
All right. Eric, thank you very much for joining me today. I'm very glad to bring in a Galaxy supporter to get his perspective of his club and, of course, on the game and for our national team. And hopefully we will get that World Cup either in 2018 or 2022. Anytime you want to come back on, Eric, please let me know. I wouldn't mind having you on.
It's a pleasure, Daniel. Anytime you're ready.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Talk to you later.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Eric Alschul. From Los Angeles, Los Angeles Galaxy supporter. And if you've been keeping up with the news, been checking out the standings of the full table or the East table, Los Angeles Galaxy is a powerhouse. Them and the Columbus Crew are undefeated, but the Galaxy have played more games. So the Crew have to catch up, and we'll see what happens then. But now we get to the North American Soccer League segment. And I think everyone already knows about the situation of one of their clubs in the North American Soccer League. As we can see, Jeff Cooper, and of course the story has been written by Mr. Richard Farley, AC St. Louis, and is also owning the WPS side of St. Louis Athletica. There has been a financial problem that popped up out of nowhere. And the man that was running AC St. Louis and the WPSI, St. Louis Athletica, Mr. Jeff Cooper, apparently missed a payroll. and unfortunately they were in a bit of trouble. The U.S. Soccer helped out St. Louis with a bond that was issued to them before the season started. So that bond, so that money has been now given to the players of both St. Louis Athletica and AC St. Louis to get their players and their people paid. It was a $350,000 bond submitted by AC St. Louis in the preseason to make last Friday's obligations. You know, let me say this, and obviously there's been some backlash, but let me say this about Jeff Cooper. Obviously, I've never met the man. I have never met the man at all, but I do know where his heart is, and his heart was getting St. Louis, a professional team, both leagues in, you know, whether it would be in Division One, Division Two of U.S. Soccer, Division One now of women's pro soccer. The man showed his heart, and he showed that he does the game. Sometimes that can be a detriment if you don't have the full finances to go out and do it on a regular basis. But still, I saw, you can see what Jeff Cooper is trying to do. Do I think this situation will be resolved? I think it will be resolved. I think Jeff Cooper and the people at the NASL and U.S. Soccer, they understand what the situation is and what's going on. And, you know, seriously, my hat is off to him. I mean, he tried to get into Major League Soccer. Unfortunately, that road just didn't work. And then he tried to get his own team into the USL or at least this NASL, and that worked for him. And then he became the head of the NASL, you know. And to be honest, you know, I applaud him. Maybe at times it might have been a little bit off with the finances, but you know what? I do recognize Jeff Cooper as a man who does care for the team. And like I've said before, Richard Farley, who does the MLS Talk podcast and the EPL Talk podcast here on MLS Talk, the title of the story is USSF Helps AC St. Louis Make Payroll, Cooper No Longer Functioning as Owner. My understanding is, I believe it is an outside ownership group that will take over for AC St. Louis and the women's club. And, of course, with Mr. Cooper being the head of the commissioner of the North American Soccer League, he will probably no longer be doing that as well, which is really sad to know. Because, you know, like I said before, he got involved. Now, obviously, you'd like to be, you know, solvent, or make sure the pockets are full so that you can continue doing what you love. What happened between the time of the creation of this league up till now, I don't have any ideas. I don't have any answers. I really don't know. But what I do know is the man did try. And that's all you can ask for. And Jeff Cooper, unfortunately, at the end of the year, it's over. But let me just say, sir, that I applaud your efforts. I applaud your heart, and I applaud you trying to at least bring passion for the game. And you know what? All I can say is I wish things would have ended better. I wish these things would be portrayed differently. Unfortunately, there will be some people who are happy that this failure of yours has happened. I am not one of those people. But let me say this. Stay strong, and who knows, maybe somewhere down the road, if you do get back into the game, hopefully you'll get your private matters in order. And hopefully, sir, you can come back, and you can either take over – with St. Louis in a different role, or maybe you can rejoin the North American Soccer League as maybe commissioner again, but we'll see what happens afterwards. But in the story written by Mr. Richard Farley, and once again, he always does a good job with his stories, there will be new owners coming in for AC St. Louis and St. Louis Athletica, Mr. Sanjeev and Hemel Vaid, who have been overseeing the club's operations since this past December. They will be the ones running the clubs. I understand they are from Belgium, but I could be wrong. That's what I heard. But still, St. Ace, I'm hoping they'll have a good year. I'm hoping they'll have a decent year. Obviously, Steve Ralston is still there. And while we are discussing the USSF Second Division, let's get to the scores, if we can, from this past weekend. On Wednesday, May 19th, Rochester, home against Crystal Palace, Baltimore. Palace with a 1-0 victory. Montreal Impact on the road at Portland Timbers, and Montreal takes a 1-goal victory. Austin Aztecs and the Tampa Bay Rowdies, a 3-3 draw. And on Saturday, May 22nd, Vancouver Whitecaps defeat the Rochester Rhinos 2-0 at Swangard Stadium. Crystal Palace Baltimore defeating the Portland Timbers 2-1 at University of Maryland Baltimore County Stadium. The Tampa Bay Rowdies on the road defeating AC St. Louis at Anheuser-Busch Soccer Park 3-0. And the Miami FC hosting the Minnesota Stars at Lockhart with a 1-0 victory. The schedule for the USSF Second Division. Tomorrow, Miami FC hosting that's at 7:30 Eastern, 8:05 Eastern. Puerto Rico Islanders will be hosting the Carolina Railhawks at Estadio Juan Ramon Lubriel. Thursday, May 20th, the Rowdies will be hosting the NSC Minnesota Stars, 7:30 p.m. Eastern at George M. Steinbrenner Field. Saturday, May 29th, Rochester Rhinos hosting Vancouver Whitecaps at Marina Auto Stadium. 7 o'clock Eastern, NSC Minnesota Stars hosting AC St. Louis at the National Sports Center. Also at 7 o'clock Eastern, Crystal Palace Baltimore hosting Austin Aztecs at the UMBC Stadium. 7:30 p.m. Eastern start time, Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting the Puerto Rico Islanders at George M. Steinbrenner Field. And finally, on Sunday, May 30th, the Montreal Impact will be hosting the Carolina Railhawks at Stade Saputo, 2 p.m. Eastern. For the standings in the NASL Conference, Vancouver Whitecaps with 7 matches played, total of 12 points in first. Second, Montreal Impact with 6 matches played, 11 points. Third, Crystal Palace Baltimore, 8 matches played, 10 points. Fourth, Miami FC, 6 games played, 8 points. Fifth, Carolina Railhawks, 5 matches played with 5 points. And then last, AC St. Louis with 8 matches played, points, 6 losses out of 8. USL Conference, Austin Aztecs in first place, 7 matches played, 14 points. Tampa Bay Rowdies, 7 matches played, 12 points. Portland Timbers in third, tied with Rochester Rhinos, both with 8 matches played and both with 11 points. In fifth place, NSC Minnesota Stars, 9 matches played, 7 points. And Puerto Rico Islanders slowly but surely coming in, 3 matches played, 6 points. It's a long trip from Puerto Rico to the mainland, my friends. Yes, it is. It's a long, long trip. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the New York Red Bull Hour. Yes, the New York Red Bull Hour, where I discuss about my club, the New York Red Bulls, the club I cover, the club I support, since it was the Metro Stars. This is the time Okay, everyone. I understand you were upset at the loss against the Columbus Crew, but honestly, the club didn't play that bad at all. There were certainly snake bit when both Sinisa Ubiparpovic and Dane Richards nailed the posts on tight angles, and Juan Pablo Angel did hit the cross on a free kick. I understand that when Tony Chani pulled one back in the 83rd minute, that there was a chance to get a second and a possible draw. But when Tim Ream and Mike Pecky accidentally played you take it, I got it with each other, that's when Emilio Renteria took advantage and put the match away for good. If two of the three woodwork shots went inside the net, I don't think we would have had a problem with a draw. But let's give credit to the Columbus Crew. They played a good match, and they took advantage of their chances than RBNY did. Eddie Gavin's header, as he sidestepped away from Mike Petke in the 35th minute, and Andy Iroh in the 39th, also got away from his defender and headed a corner shot. Congratulations to Tony Chani, who converted his first MLS and professional goal. I truly believe we had a midfielder of the future who can attack, give service, and score goals. Obviously, he needs more matches and seasoning, but so far he has shown that he can be a handful out on the pitch and do some damage. And speaking about a player who can do some damage, how lucky was the club when Irving Garcia was available in the draft? We got a taste here and there during the last two U.S. Open Cup qualifiers, but in the friendly match against Juventus, he tore them up and showed to be very dangerous. I understand that some of you want to see transferred out and give Garcia the keys, but if he is picked to start in the final qualifier against the Rapids, let's see how he handles himself. Out of the three goals that Connor Chin has scored in his early MLS career, that 55th minute tally was the best. The shot looked more like a goal scorer than a got lucky on the rebound chance. Since meeting the Tampa Bay Terror in Jeremy Hall, I hoped he would get the chance to set up some nice goals and score a couple as well. I was very happy to see him take that rebound shot after Garcia ripped that long ball off the far corner. While it's nice to put another notch on the belt on defeating one of Europe's top clubs, including when they are coming from the Serie A, I'm afraid we have to hold back a bit and concentrate on the rest of the season. As I have said, we have a final U.S. Open Cup qualifier at Red Bull Arena tomorrow night against the Colorado Rapids. A road match to Gillette Stadium and hopefully break another curse against New England Revolution. Host the Houston Dynamo and get revenge on Chivas USA before the World Cup break comes. Hopefully this club can get a total of 9 points and try to get past the Crew and regain the top of the East before the two-week break during the group stage of this summer's World Cup. If you are a big supporter of the New York Red Bulls and you want to get the latest gear of your favorite club in the NYC area, hop on the PATH train or drive down to Hoboken and walk over to the Premier Soccer Shop located at 157 First Street. Get your brand new home white Red Bull New York shirt. Want to get it customized with your favorite players like Juan Pablo Angel, Dane Richards, Mike Petke, and newcomers like Joel Impair, rookie Tim Ream, Irving Garcia, and Connor Chin. They have the official numbers and letters from Major League Soccer to put on the backs of the jerseys. Call the shop at 201-533-8900 or go online at www.premsoccershop.com. They are on Twitter and Facebook as well. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Hans Bacca press conference, and here he is discussing the match with the press.
Coach, if you can just give an opening statement about the match, please.
Yeah, I would say it's a defeat that hurts, that's for sure. Probably our best performance so far in this league, if you look at the possession, if you look at creating chances, putting a team like Columbus under pressure like that, that hurt. I feel a bit sorry for the players because they deserve more in this game. two and a half individual mistakes killed the game for us, and you can never in a way avoid or train to get rid of individual mistakes. You can train a back four or midfield, but that's the way it is.
Tom.
On the story last game was about what was lacking in that service, and today it seemed very good going forward, and I'm sure you probably still
Yeah, definitely. And the I still think when we scored 2-1, we could have got a tie, definitely, because they were just sitting back and dropping with 8-9 players just around the 18-yard, and we had people bodies in the box for crosses, so it was a lot of half chances too in this game. So concede three goals in a game like this, that hurts. But in a way, as a total of players, we can build on this, because they show in a way a lot of energy. In the performance, they bounce back really well today. So I can't complain about that. They took the chances, we missed our chances, and that's the way it is. Michael.
You said that it was a defeat at first. Could you elaborate on
Yeah, when you play that well, because we don't create that many chances in the earlier games, and suddenly the passing game was rather precise, we get wide, we had some good crosses, as you said, we had two in the post, one in the bar, we had three, four half chances, we have not even been close earlier to create that number of chances. So, and then two and a half, as I said, individual mistake, when you're in the game, that kills the game.
Thank you, Stefan.
Coach, some of the changes in the lineup were made due to injury, but others were, I guess, other substitutions that guys needed to play. What do you see out of this game to make people different?
I think in a way Tony Chani made an impact, that's for sure, when he went in. We told him just to attack and be as much as possible in the box. Still Roy Miller in a rather unfamiliar position on central midfield, played well, didn't force it, gave us in a way a good possession. I still think, okay, Danley played the last game, but he attacked very well too, so it's... As I said, the depth is good in the squad, and it's very even between 20, 22 out three players, the quality.
I found that either.
So you say 5-4 is what
was it supposed to be? Is this 5-4 team? It's difficult to say. It's after these 9 games, in a way. We've been lucky, as I said, when we picked up a win against, for example, Dallas with a late penalty, and they, in a way, sometimes outplayed us, so we got 3 points with us. Last game against Seattle is a tie if you look it on the once again on the DVD. But that perhaps, it never lies in a way. This is at the moment our position, 15 points, and we just have to go from there. I just want Christian.
It's pretty well regarded as one of the strongest teams. Is it hurtful knowing what's outweighed some opportunities, knowing that they're missing 3 key players? Does it make it hurt more than that?
No, we're missing 4. Because in a way, if you look at our, or at least 3, if you look at our starting lineup with Salou, Joel Linter, and Carl Robinson, and perhaps Brian Nielsen, so that should probably give you at the same level. Christian.
With 3 losses in a row, given last year's last place performance, are you concerned about the team's psyche and
Not after the game today. If it had looked different with no energy, and even when you're 2 down, you go to half time, they really saw in the second half a lot of energy, and the work rate was, I can't just be happy with that. They set the standard on effort today, and that was good. It looked, I can't see anything that they're mentally just going down.
Last 2 questions, Nathaniel, first.
Did Tony Chani play himself into the starting role tonight?
I think he will definitely, he gave me something to think about the way he played, because he drives from central midfield, was strong in the 50-50s, so he will be rather close, that's for sure.
Last question right here.
Coach, you mentioned something about the energy that it shows. Did you notice the ability that size comparison, that size matchup was ability
It's a close one, I think, the penalty, if it's a penalty or not, in a way, but of course he's a small guy playing against a giant centre-back, and of course the small one goes down, so was probably the right decision. I think Chani will give up some more physical strength, that's for sure, in midfield. And I think also he's just been a holding midfield player, but if you can get him into the box too, because he's a good header, he will be a handful for crosses.
Thank you, the Rebels locker.
And that was head coach Hans Backe discussing the situation of the match. What I'm going to do right now is I was able to catch Columbus head coach Robert Warzeha. He was in a bit of a rush. I had to ask him a few questions, but obviously there was no Guillermo Barros-Scolotto as he was suspended for that match on Thursday because of a elbow to Michael Umana in the jaw that was not seen by the referee, but it was seen on video. So we're going to play that, asking him, is this an answer to the league that, our top, I mean that we're not going to stop playing good football. So here we go.
And you're fortunate with Columbus coach Robert Warzeha. Very impressive. Scolotto was suspended for this match due to what happened last week against Chivas. Was this kind of a statement game to the league that maybe they shouldn't have suspended him?
The season is so long. This is another 23 games to go. So plus the Open Cup, plus the Champions League game. So I think I'm happy we're getting the points in the beginning of the season. Obviously the team is playing hard. It was a nice win against New York here in New York, beautiful stadium. Scoring 3 goals away from home is always nice. They had some chances, obviously. They hit the post twice and the crossbar. The bounces didn't go their way today, but that's a soccer game.
It was even today before your side scored two.
What was it again?
Did you feel it was even the match before your side scored two?
Well, they had in the beginning they had a couple chances. I think they had like 5 corner kicks in the first 10 minutes, and then we just switched a little bit of formation, and then we started to pick up the pace and started to play a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And we created a couple chances, and the game evened up then, and we were keeping everything in the middle of the field, in the middle third. So that's what we wanted, and pick up two nice goals.
You've probably played in the past before coming to MLS some pretty nice stadiums in Europe, and going back about this stadium, what do you feel for the league and for this area about this stadium?
It's unbelievable. I'm very happy for New York that finally they have a stadium, and it's a giant stadium. Obviously it's big and nice, but playing on a turf was a little bit tough for the players. So it's obviously the atmosphere is going to be great here, especially when you fill it out with 25,000 people. So I'm hoping that the New York is going to continue to play well, and then you guys, all these people coming and cheering for them.
And that was Columbus Crew head coach Robert Warzeha. More visiting sides when they come in about Red Bull Arena, because obviously it's a fabulous thing that's happened here in the New York City tri-state area, that this is the real home for the game in this area and for the country. And let's hope that we'll get a USA national team match in the near future when it's qualifying. So other than that, my take again on the match on Thursday, they didn't play that bad. Red Bull actually played a very good match. They dominated the possession. They dominated the statistics on every single level, with the exception of the scoreboard. They didn't dominate the scoreboard. And obviously they were snake bit with Sinisa Ubiparapovic rip off the far post after Eddie Gavin scored his goal, and then after half Richards, where I think most of us felt that he was going to probably try and get the penalty, which probably maybe he should have tried, but he didn't. And kind of like good for him, because you want to be an honest player. You don't want to be considered a diver or a penalty hunter, or you're going penalty hunting. But he took a shot as Will Hesmer came off his line, and you thought the ball was going to go in. It hit the post and away. And then Angel had a chance probably about 10, 11 minutes later. And while that looked like it was going to go under the crossbar, the ball hit the crossbar. Everything was going well. They never quit. They never gave up. They kept on fighting. They kept on trying to get that first goal. Congratulations to Tony Chani. He is definitely our future player for this club. I feel that he's done a fantastic job so far. And the amount of minutes he's had so far in some of the MLS matches, he's improved. He's getting better and better and better. And for him to score that nice glancing header from Carlos Mendez, and it's in the net, it's 2-1. And then that was in the 83rd minute. And then in the 85th minute, the old classic, you take it, I got it, from Mike Petke and Tim Ream. And Emilio Renteria just grabbed it. Didn't really grab it, but you know what I mean. He took advantage of the situation, and he just took it right to the net. Took it right to the net and scored. And that basically just killed off the whole game. 3-1 Columbus. You know, they had their chances. Columbus didn't have many chances, but whenever they took them, it went in. I mean, at the time, before the second goal for Columbus in the first half, corners were 6-1 in favor of New York. But when Columbus took their second corner of the match, Iroh just stepped away from the mixer, and he just headed it in. Solid shot, did a fabulous job with it, and that was the 2-0 advantage for Columbus up to the half. I met my friend Blake and the visiting crew supporters up in the away section. It's always good to see Blake Compton. He's a very nice guy. We always like to share some stories of what happened, and he always gives a fair and honest assessment. You've already heard him during CONCACAF Champions League 09-10 season when they were in the quarterfinals against Toluca. Very honest guy, and I always enjoy having him on. Hopefully we'll have him back on here talking about Columbus period and, you know, seeing them playing very well once again. And it really doesn't matter who is on the team. This, either an injury or a suspension, the Crew are definitely a much better side than people probably will give them credit for. The Columbus Crew are actually pretty good right about now. But still, there was another match on Sunday afternoon, May 23rd, when I was not able to attend. I had, unfortunately, I have a work commitment that I had to go to. I could not make the match. I did DVR it on Fox Soccer Channel, and Juventus, well, you know, it's awesome. A European club side, especially one with the stature of Juventus in Turin, in Italy. Juventus has had a terrible season in Serie A. They've had a terrible season in Serie A. They finished seventh. And while normally they're one of the top clubs in Italy, along with Inter, AC Milan, Roma, and Lazio, to see them actually not look that good is a shocker. And we all know there's a large, here in the New York City, New Jersey area, the large Italian community. In Hoboken, there's actually the Juventus Supporters Club in the United States in Hoboken on 9th Street. I forget between which avenues, but I've passed it by a couple of times. And apparently American Juventus supporters were not happy with how their club played. But you know what? Good for the Baby Bulls. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the Baby Bulls. Irving Garcia, Tony Chani, Connor Chin, Austin Deluz. He did not play. He is currently injured. But then you see other young players like Sinisa Ubiparapovic, who has seemed to have found his confidence in these matches. You see Danley Borman, who's also looking confident as well. Jeremy Hall, the great goal in the 50th minute off that fabulous shot by Irving Garcia. Unfortunately, it hit the far corner, iron. It's plastic, I know, but it's the only way I can describe it. Off the corner, iron, rebound to Hall, and all I had to do was just smack it hard. And Connor Chin, as we said before, out of the three goals he scored, this third goal of his in a Red Bull shirt looked a lot better than those, I pray to God I can put the rebound in or I can just throw my heel out and deflect the ball into the net. He's always good for goals, Hans Bacca has said. And it's true. Even in, you know, he is always good for goals. But there are times when he is good for goals and they just don't go in. Something about Connor Chin that has made Hans Bacca believe in him and use him in this situation. But Irving Garcia is one of those players where, okay, did him. We don't know much about him. But I think he can be something special. He can run. He has the energy. You've seen him sub in some of these Open Cup qualifiers to finish off the match, and probably he's thinking, oh, I'm just happy to be getting a couple of minutes here and there. What an opportunity he took. What an opportunity by Irving Garcia to actually take the reins, go down the right side, and he didn't care if it was Juventus, Manchester United, DC United, it could be even Club America. He attacked with conviction. And that is something that we haven't seen probably in a good while. He attacked with conviction, with his pace. He took shots when he knew he had the opportunity to take them. And if it wasn't for maybe a couple of saves, and if it didn't hit the corner, plastic, he'd probably have two goals against Juventus. And then Juventus head coach would probably go across the bench area and say to Hans Bacca and Richie Williams and even Eric Soler, so how much in the transfer window do you want for this kid? Now, obviously, he's got more room to improve on. And I think most of these players who they draft more time to improve, and they do. You know what? I don't think anyone would be too upset if you want to give Dane Richards a second match to relax, you know, take a breath and let Irving Garcia take over maybe 45 minutes, maybe 50 minutes. You never know. Obviously, this is my assumption, whatever Richie Williams, Goran Aro, and Hans Bacca wants to do. That's fine. Let them do it. They know how to run the club. They know what their players can give them. But, you know, this is the start of something fabulous for Red Bull. Yeah, they're on a three-match losing streak in league play right now, but still, a victory over Juventus is still considered, it's nothing to sneeze at. Regardless if they didn't play hard, who cares? Who cares if Juventus didn't want to play hard? Let them assume it was a cakewalk. Let them assume that, oh, it's just New York, it's nothing, it's MLS, they don't know anything, we'll just take it easy. If we feel like scoring, we'll put in a goal or two. That didn't happen. Juventus's bad season carried over to this match, and now they're going to be up in Toronto over at Rogers Center playing against Fiorentina at Rogers Center, formerly the Sky Dome. Let them handle whatever they want to handle. You know, that's not our problem. Our problem right now is this. Our problem for Red Bull, get into the U.S. Open Cup proper. Go to New England on Saturday evening and break the three-match losing streak. Play two more home matches in the first week of June against Houston on Wednesday, June 2nd, home against Chivas USA, June 5th, and then get to the World Cup break with a couple of points under their belts, hopefully overtake Columbus if they ever do lose, and just go out and take care of business. That's all we have to ask for from this club. I know we can basically freak out in what happens with the club when they lose. There have been so many reports, not so much reports, but, you know, supporters' opinions on websites like Big Soccer. You know, what is going on? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Guys, just calm down. Take it easy. Sooner or later, this had to happen. Would it be nice to go completely undefeated like Los Angeles? Like Los Angeles and Columbus? Yeah. It would be nice. But you know what? Right now, Let's not worry about it, okay? Because no one expected us to – no one expected Red Bulls to have a 5-1 record to start the season. No one expected it. More will come, and more will happen. There are still plenty of matches. We have a World Cup break coming. And during that World Cup break on June 18th, a Friday night, after the USA will play Slovenia in the World Cup, 8 o'clock, Cruzeiro from Brazil will be playing in a friendly. And that should be another entertaining match and another Brazilian side coming over to see how Red Bull Arena is. And, of course, let's talk about July 22nd through July 25th, the New York Football Challenge. And that will consist of not just the New York Red Bulls, but also Tottenham Hotspurs, Manchester City of the Premiership, and Sporting Lisbon of the Portuguese First Division. The schedule has already come out, just to let you know, and it's going to be a very interesting thing. It's going to be basically two single matches, a break, and then a doubleheader on Sunday. So I'm going to get you the schedule right now for the New York Football Challenge. It will be on Thursday, July 22nd, Friday, July 23rd, Saturday, July 24th is a break, and Sunday, July 25th is the doubleheader. So for those of you not sure, here it is as I get it up. All matches will be seen on Fox Soccer Channel. And here you are. Thursday, second, the Red Bulls will be playing Tottenham. Friday, July 23rd, Manchester City will be playing Sporting Lisbon. And the doubleheader on Sunday, July 25th, it will be Tottenham versus Sporting Lisbon at 1. And then at 3:30, Red Bulls will be hosting Manchester City. And, of course, it will not be two separate tickets. It will be one ticket for both matches. So it will be an official doubleheader. And here is how it will go. Besides being 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, no points for a loss, goals scored will also count one goal per point, or 1 point per goal, I should say, excuse me. So if it is, let's say, 3-2 Red Bulls over Tottenham, Tottenham will have 2 points, Red Bulls will have 6 points, the 3-point win, and a point per goal. And then we'll find out who will win the whole thing on Sunday the 25th. But obviously this will be a great training exercise for both Manchester City and Tottenham. I know my friend Dwayne Rollins will be coming over to try and see Red Bull Arena for the first time before Toronto FC makes the trip down, or even if they do make the trip down. It's what's coming up. It's going to be a fun time here in the city, fun time in the tri-state area. Everyone, come on over. It should be a great thing to see with those top sides from Europe. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go and get audio from the players from Thursday. We'll go with Juan Pablo Angel, who he thought they played well enough to win. It just didn't happen for them, being snake bit like they were.
Yes, guys. Hey, Juan. The attacking third, you guys look really sharp. Some good crosses, three times hit the woodwork. You have to, I'd imagine, feel quite unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those strange games. I personally felt that, you know, it was probably the best game we played in terms of possession, and we did create, you know, some chances. But then I think we conceded, you know, three very soft goals, and that was, you know, difficult to come back from. I think when we got the 2-1, I really felt that we had a, you know, very decent chance to, you know, equalize the game. It was only one way. And then, you know, the third goal, I think, just killed off the game for us. So very disappointed, but in a way, you know, pleased because I honestly felt that our passing was a lot sharper, our movement was a lot better, and our possession was, you know, probably the best it's been, you know, so far. So it's hard to explain, because at the end of the day, when you look at the result, you know, that's what matters. But for us, I think it's, you know, something to be, you know, happy and build up from.
How did you pair with the Dane in front of you?
I think it was good. You know, we, as I say, I mean, I was very, very pleased, you know, in terms of what we did, possession, movement. Dane, obviously, with his pace, stretched him, you know. I was trying to find, you know, a chance. For some reason today the ball was going all over and I couldn't, you know, get any clear chance, and all kind of, you know, came to Dane, and he was, I think, unlucky enough to score. And as you said, we hit the post 2-3 times. You know, any other day you might score one or two of those.
Yeah, 9 games in the season. Do you think a 5-4 record is a fair assessment for the team?
I mean, obviously you want to do better. You would have wanted to win this game because it was a very important game, a big game for us. As I said, I think there's some positives. We still have a number of, you know, players out, and I think we should be happy in a way that, you know, we definitely put a better performance. We just have to, you know, get back again to basics and, you know, be a little bit more stronger in terms of not, you know, conceding those soft balls anymore.
You hit Johnny tonight.
Sorry?
Johnny
did great. I mean, he took off very well the chance. He scored for us, and I think that was a big relief. We honestly felt that, you know, we could have, you know, did an equalizer. And he, I mean, when he was required, I think he did, you know, what he's good at. You know, kept possession and scored a great goal. And in general, was, you know, was a handful.
At a free kick, I mean, you must have felt.
Yeah, I mean, I felt
over the wall. It seemed like right, kind of.
Yes, you know, I just 1 inch, I think, you know, lower, and it would have been in. The goalkeeper didn't have really any chance, but at the end of the day, you know, it wasn't meant to be today.
How do you build off this one? The next game is a friendly, then an Open Cup after that.
I mean, there's a number of games coming through, and as I said, there's a number of players out. We need to get some of them healthy because, you know, we gotta, you know, bounce back. I mean, we have, you know, obviously the Juventus game, which a majority of players have to be involved on it. Then we have the Cup, then we have New England, and then Chivas, and then we have the break. So before we go to the break, we got to make sure that, you know, we pick up some points and hopefully, you know, get, you know, some of the players healthy again.
Given the size of the roster, all the games that you're playing this month, too many?
I think it's, yes, there's, you know, especially now that you see that, you know, we're stretching out with, you know, with players. There's 6, 7, 8 players out, and you start to feel it, and it's just the beginning of the season. So we got to make sure that we have, you know, the majority of guys healthy, because we're going to need them. The good thing is, you know, there's so many players playing out of position, and they did, I think, a very decent job today. Although at the end of the day, I keep repeating, you know, you get judged by results, but today I think that it was generally a good performance.
Do you feel this is the deepest team you've been on since you've been in?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know what I mean? We have better players and more numbers. But we need to get them healthy, because otherwise it's going to be, you know, useless. Yeah.
And that was Juan Pablo Angel describing the match, talking about how this loss is a positive that they can take into the next matches, like they did against Juventus. Like I said, the Open Cup qualifier coming tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at Red Bull Arena. And he also felt the depth was a lot better than normally. And now we're going to go to Tim Ream real quick on the whole description of what happened on the play with him and Mike Pecky.
The first 85 minutes, you know, personally, you know, the whole team played well. You know, we possessed the ball. We created more chances this game than I think we've created in the last 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the last goal, a huge mistake. And, you know, that's something that's, you know, fresh on my mind. But other than that, you know, the first 85 minutes I thought was played really well.
And what exactly happened with the last goal?
It was an over-communication, actually. I was calling for it to be my ball to head back to Buna, and Mike was calling it for him to to clear it out, and I think we were both in good positions to do both of those things, and we both hesitated, thinking the other guy was going to go, and there it's just one guy's got to take charge. You know, it doesn't matter who it is, it's got to happen, and it cost us.
Get those once in a while. I mean, if you're a baseball fan, you've seen the same thing. Center fielder calls for it, right fielder doesn't hear him, shortstop goes after it, and either someone catches it, or they collide, or no one catches it, and the ball drops right in the middle. So, if it happens in baseball, it happens in football. So, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. Let's get over to John Wolanek.
John Wolanek, who came on as a substitute, and let's just see what happens when our Johnny talks about the whole game.
You can definitely grab some positives out of it, but anytime you're at home and you lose, you're going to be unhappy. I thought we had the ball for long stretches, created at least a few opportunities and a number more half chances. We had a ton of corner kicks, free kicks, and obviously two posts and a crossbar. In return, chances are going the other way, like bouncing the other way like that. It's going to be tough to win in this league, especially when you're playing a team that's on a roll.
You felt snake bit tonight with those?
Absolutely. At least a little bit, you know. I'm not trying to say we absolutely dominated that game, but I would have to say we had the better of the play. And it's disappointing to allow pretty much one play in the first half to really change the game. You know, that's what happens. We fall asleep for a second. All of a sudden, they work 1-0. We start feeling sorry for ourselves. Next thing you know, we're down 2-0. In this league, against a good team on a roll, that's a tough mountain to climb. So.
Performed well, but how do you allow not to go into a lull into the next match, which will be an Open Cup qualifier to go into round three against Colorado?
Yeah, I mean it's tough. Obviously, it's not a good time for us to get into a funk because we have a lot of games, and unfortunately, that's kind of where we are. So, we have a game Sunday against Juventus. Hopefully, we use that to, kind of dispel the demons and move on, getting the right positive attitude for an Open Cup game. Move on to that and then build some momentum into New England. So.
It seems like maybe a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, this Juventus game was like, oh, we've got to play this game. Maybe right now just to come a little bit more significance for the team in terms of getting the psyche right again.
Yeah, I mean, with so many games coming, it's hard to say whether you look forward to it or not, but as of right now, I'd rather play that game than a league game. A chance to, mentally, I think it'll be give us a chance to relax and take off the pressure a little bit and then just kind of be excited about playing a world-class team and forget about the best trips that are on and test ourselves and hopefully grab some confidence out of it.
This time.
And that was John Wolanek on his assessment of the matches and what happened. You feel bad for John because, he always wants to go out there and do something spectacular for the club, just like Juan Pablo Angel likes to do. But there were some positives. There were some big positives, I like to think, even though it wasn't a losing way. It was a positive that they did continue to fight and continue to play the match at a high level till obviously that third goal happened. But you know what? Celebrating Tony Chani. His first professional goal came in MLS play, while Connor Chin's came in Open Cup qualifying play. But here's Tony Chani describing the goal and describing his confidence getting back.
Tony Chani, now obviously the result is obviously what you look for, but you scored your first professional goal. Just to talk about the play, how you put it in.
The player just saw, I think I played the ball to somebody else, he played to Carlos, and coach told me all the time I want you in the box, and I just made that run, I saw the ball, I turned to go in front of the guy, and I just hit it.
Mm-hmm. Can you speak about the emotion after you got that goal?
I was so happy because I was thinking, I was just like, we can come back, you know, because we have to play like 15 or 30 minutes like that, I think. But after getting that goal, I was just like, no hope for now.
Do you feel those two Open Cup qualifiers has helped your confidence to get into position to be in for that goal?
Yeah, for sure, because since those games, I'm trying to improve what coach saying, like trying to play forward, trying to be that guy box to box, and yeah.
You know, coach also said, you know, he's asked you to be a holding midfielder at times, but here he gave you the instruction when you came in to go forward and get into the box, and your eyes had to just light up when you heard that, you know, the opportunity to really get up front and cause some havoc up there.
Yeah, because in college I used to be that player going box to box, and I'm not really a defensive player, you know. But since I came here, coach trying to like put trying to play defensive midfield, but I'm not. I'm that player who goes box to box. Yeah.
Obviously, not to look past Juventus that will be on Sunday, but obviously you have one more Open Cup qualifier on Wednesday against Colorado, and that match will put you into round three proper. What do you feel? If you feel victory can make things better during league season on Wednesday?
I hope so. You know, it's all about confidence. You know, if I feel confident, I know. I think I can do that.
Tony Chani, a very happy camper, very happy kid, got his first goal in Major League Soccer, and he believes his confidence will get better and better as the season progresses, and he hopes that they can get to the Open Cup tournament from there. Speaking about the U.S. Open Cup, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it is the FA Cup version from U.S. Soccer. The field is filling up nicely once again. We already have clubs waiting to start this tournament from both USL and NASL, the Austin Aztecs, Carolina Railhawks, Charleston Battery, Charlotte Eagles, Crystal Palace Baltimore, Harrisburg City Islanders, Miami FC, the Minnesota Stars, Pittsburgh Riverhounds, Portland Timbers, Real Maryland, Richmond Kickers, Rochester Rhinos, St. Louis, FC Tampa Bay, and those are your professional sides below MLS. Amateur sides already qualified from the PDL, Reading United AC, Ventura County Fusion, Kitsap Pumas, U.S. ASA, Brooklyn Italians, New York Penn Cyprian Freedoms, Detroit United, KC Athletics, Arizona Saharos, Bay Area Ambassadors, and finally, in that special one-match play-in, Sonoma County Soul from the USASA taking on a member of U.S. Club Soccer. They defeated them 3-0, the special play-in, so the Soul has taken that 40th spot. Major League Soccer, once again, the MLS, Chicago, Chivas USA, Columbus, Houston, and defending cup champions, Seattle Sounders. Tomorrow night, Red Bull Arena, the Colorado Rapids will be here facing the Red Bulls in the final qualifier, and the winner of this final qualifier will automatically go to round three proper, and then the other Open Cup qualifier, DC United hosting Real Salt Lake, that will be on a Wednesday night to round three proper. There is so much disrespect of the U.S. Open Cup that it does shame me. I'm not happy the way that U.S. Soccer treats the U.S. Open Cup. You know what? I can care less what some of the coaches in MLS think. If some don't really take it seriously, I can care less what they think. Just feel the team, keep your mouth shut, and just do it, would you please? Because guess what? If you're not going to make the playoffs, okay, and if you really want to get into international cup competition like the CONCACAF Champions League, then you play hard for this tournament. And let me just say that not automatically into the tournament proper. You're starting the qualifying round. But guess what? Who cares? It's a fabulous tournament. I love it. I love what it's about. And hopefully some of you will love it too. It's a great tournament. For those of you who want to watch this match through the computer, the Red Bulls official website will be doing another live stream 8 o'clock at night at Red Bull Arena. So for those of you in Colorado that want to watch the match, NewYorkRedBulls.com, there will be a live stream 8 o'clock at night. Maybe a little party. You never know. It should be fun. And also, on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock, I will do a one-hour U.S. Open Cup recap show on the Red Bulls and Rapids. I'll have Quinny come on again discussing the match. I know he'll be watching it tomorrow night. And we'll be having an hour. I will have the, once again, inside the locker room, inside the in the press room for Hans Backe, you know, of the match. And, of course, the players that will be playing, most people are going to say it's going to be the Baby Bulls again. And I think it will be the case. After tomorrow night's Open Cup qualifier, after Thursday's Open Cup recap show, don't forget once again, Saturday night, May 29th, Gillette Stadium, Red Bulls on the road against the New England Revolution. Steve Cangelosi and Shep Messing will have the call on MSG Network. Once again, it should be fun. They'll be in the studios of MSG doing the game when the Red Bulls are away from Red Bull Arena. And then two more matches, June 2nd, home against the Houston Dynamo, June 5th, home against Chivas USA. MSG will be showing the Houston match, while Fox Soccer Channel will be showing Red Bulls and Chivas USA. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the World Cup. And we will discuss the World Cup the next June 1st. We'll talk June 8th we'll do a show getting ready for the World Cup. It should be interesting. It should be fun. I can't wait. And once again, daily World Cup Buzz.com, worldcupbuzz.com, through the EPL Talk family of sites. You can listen to the World Cup podcast hosted by Richard Farley and all stories that will be seen on there. Shows, myself, I might have one a week. I might do two a week, maybe three a week. We'll see what happens. I know you probably want every single day. But don't forget, there's also going to be U.S. Open Cup matches. And let's give you the schedule right now for U.S. Open Cup matches. I know it's going to be during the World Cup, but listen, go out, support your local clubs that are going to be involved in the U.S. Open Cup, please, because, you know, this is a fantastic tournament. And if you can't do it during June, when can you do it? Because the calendar is so short. First round will be Tuesday, June 15th, 32 clubs, each other, below MLS. In round two, and that will be on June 22nd. And then round two winners will advance to face eight MLS sides in round three. That will be on Tuesday, June 29th. And then the quarters, the semis, and the finals. Quarterfinals will be played on either July 6th, which is a Tuesday, or Wednesday, July 7th. The semifinals will be on Tuesday, August 31st, or Wednesday, September 1st. And, of course, the U.S. Open Cup final will be on Fox Soccer Channel on Tuesday, October 5th. So that is the only time the U.S. Open Cup will be televised. It's the final on Tuesday, October 5th. And once again, I wish there was more promotion with the Open Cup. I wish there was more television coverage of the Open Cup. And that's been the problem for this tournament ever since it was brought back. Slowly but surely, there were more matches coming, but then all of a sudden it just stopped. And it's only the final. And it's really a shame because it shouldn't be just the final. It really should be the entire tournament, if possible. Web streams, live web streams are fine. A club like in MLS or in NASL or USL that has a television contract should also be allowed to broadcast a U.S. Open Cup match. Because this is part of our fabric. If Thomas R. Dewar, and the man, if that name sounds familiar, Dewar's, it's the famous whiskey company in the UK. If Thomas R. Dewar did not bring that trophy to help celebrate football in the USA, and if they didn't honor Lamar Hunt by putting his name to this tournament, if it was just for show, then honestly, remove Lamar Hunt's name if you're not going to care about the tournament. Remove his name and don't even bother with it. Just call it the U.S. Open Cup and that's it. But no, you honored the man who gave a damn about soccer. Not just the NFL, but for the game of football. And the man is a visionary, always been a visionary. He wanted to help this country sporting culture that is either the NFL or professional soccer. You honored him by naming the tournament after him, U.S. Soccer. And even though you've named the tournament after him, you haven't honored the tournament. And it is a shame. You probably don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. It is the truth. We have it. And we should care about it. The reason why some people don't care about it, because they see that you don't care about your opinions of the Open Cup. There is a way to make it better. There is a way to do positive things with it. And U.S. Soccer, I know you can do it. But you have to stop showing the ignorance to the Open Cup. Don't listen to people telling you, well, we feel it's a distraction. It's not worth it. We don't want it. Nah, nah, nah. Don't listen to them. Who runs the sport in this country? Houston Dynamo doesn't run it. Rochester Rhinos doesn't run it. Crystal Palace Baltimore doesn't run it. Carolina Dynamo doesn't run it. No, U.S. Soccer, you run the tournament. Don't throw it out there and say, so what do you guys think? Well, we don't want it. It's a distraction. Just have the league seasons and that's it. No. Just because the North American Soccer League, the original North American Soccer League, didn't want to be a part of it, that doesn't mean that MLS does not want to be a part of it. MLS does. NASL does. The new NASL does. The USL does. The PDL does. USASA does. US Club Soccer does. So what's the problem? Seriously, what's the problem? Do you just want to throw it out? All right, guys, we're going to throw it out there. Whoever wants to join, come on in. If not, all right, you can stay out. We'll have these qualifiers. It's all about growing the game in the country. And how many times does the FA Cup get talked about, the Carling Cup get talked about, the Premiership get talked about, Championship League get talked about, Football Leagues 1 and 2 get talked about? All the time. And when people want to see the same thing here in this country, you know, legation, you know, then it's like, no, nah, we're not going to bother with it because we don't want to step on anyone's toes. Well, whose toes are you stepping on? If you show the same concern and the same caring for MLS, for league play football, then you should be showing the same care for the U.S. Open Cup. And, you know, for those of you wondering how I got into the U.S. Open Cup so much, simple. When I first got back into the game in 1996 with MLS. The next year, I got in the mail, or I found, or bought an MLS merchandise catalog. And at that time, it had the 10 teams when it got started. And when you got to the middle of it, you saw DC United with T-shirts on, celebrating around a trophy. At that time, I had no idea what it was, because it wasn't that little MLS Cup soccer ball glued to a plaque with three arches, or I guess half arches, that looked like it came from a Star Trek movie. Yeah, I had no idea what it was. I had no idea. And, you know, it bothered me very much. And then I asked some friends that are into soccer, or if I went on the internet and, you know, I was asking people, like, what is this trophy? What does it symbolize? What is it? U.S. Open Cup. I'm like, well, what's the U.S. Open Cup? And they told me what it is. You know, it's like if you've watched the FA Cup in England. And I said, I haven't. And I said, okay, well, you know, go on the internet and take a look. And I went on the internet, and I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. You actually – we don't see an Arena Football League team promoted winning the league title and get promoted to the NFL, because that's not going to happen. You don't see minor league baseball teams get promoted to Major League Baseball after they win the AAA championship or the AA championship, the single A championship. There's no promotion relegation in that. If you win the American Hockey League Calder Cup trophy, you don't get promoted to the National Hockey League and play for the Stanley Cup. They're all closed leagues. Even in the NBA, the NBDL side does not get promoted to the NBA if they win the championship. And that's what makes the U.S. Open Cup so spectacular. That's what makes it so awesome. And the sad thing about it was back in 1999 when ESPN produced their first U.S. Open Cup title match. They produced it at Columbus Crew Stadium, Colorado Rapids versus Rochester Raging Rhinos. And everyone thought MLS was going to come out on top. The Rapids are going to do a job. But what happened? The Rhinos scored two goals. They won the title. And that was the last time that the Open Cup was ever seen on ESPN at all. It's been on Fox Soccer World, now Fox Soccer Channel. There was a time that it was on Gold TV, Fox Sports Net, to show the final, to show some matches on some both semifinal matches. And there was a time when there was more than just the semis and the final that was being shown. There was I think back in 2003, where there was a third round or a fourth round match being shown, then like two quarterfinal matches being shown, and then two semis being both semifinals and then the final. This cup has been treated wrongly, and it is a shame. And here's the thing that really bothers me sometimes. It's like when U.S. soccer created their own cups. When U.S. soccer created their own cups for that was my producer, by the way, my director, I should say. When they created these cups, you wouldn't use the Dewar Trophy to celebrate. It's just there to be seen. Sure, it's nice to put the little tag on the base, on the plaque, to have the name on it. But you know what? It's just ridiculous, and it's wrong. And hopefully this tournament in the future will become better promoted, better respected. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the end of the show. Glenn Webb, Eric Alschul, of course, getting you the audio for. Thank you very much for being on the show. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Once again, don't forget, get your daily reading from me and my fellow writers at MajorLeagueSoccerTalk.com, members of the EPL Talk family of websites, and don't forget to follow the World Cup, not just this show, but WorldCupBuzz.com. My name is Daniel Feuerstein, and enjoy your football. Thank you.